You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Khususan ala Sayyidi al-Rusuli wa Khatim al-Anbiya wa ala alihi al-Azkiya wa ashabihi al-Atqiya amma ba'd. Yesterday in our reflection we talked about the importance of repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of 10 days of Ramadan. And how today we just prayed our 15th Tarawih prayer, and technically we've passed the half point now from here onwards of Ramadan, and we should value the moments that we have. However, one very important part of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must make sure that when you're making dua to Allah, when you're repenting to Allah, you actually mean it. You really, really mean it, sincerely. And we talked about this earlier in Ramadan, that how many times when we make dua to Allah, it's just words. Sometimes when we do dhikr, it's just words, and there's no weight to those words. You find narrations in which the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that when you make dua like the one who is drowning. Because the one that's drowning, he doesn't just say, "I need help. Hey guys, please, I need some help right now, please." That's not how he says it. When a person's drowning, when he's dying for his life, how does he say it? He screams it. He really, really, really means it. So he, when he wants help, he really needs that help then. And he's crying, not only from his eyes, but also his heart. And he'll do whatever is desired of him so he can get that help. So when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be present completely. And one thing that I wanted to highlight in today's reflection, and I wanted to base more or less the greater part of the reflection today off this, is learning to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ramadan, where we're making many du'as, we should always try to learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during our du'as. And one of the reasons why we find it hard to cry in front of Allah is because we can't really reflect on what we're doing. When we praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we actually knew the one we were praising, trust me, tears would come out of our eyes. When we read the Quran today, when we're reading in the Tarawih prayer, all these stories and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows that the entire nation was against their prophet, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved His prophet and destroyed the nation. And we read regarding Musa alayhi salam and Harun, how they came to Fir'aun, and how Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salam went back and forth, and they had this large debate, this grand debate, and they went back and forth, and Musa alayhi salam, he brings his miracles. And it's so beautiful because when we read this, we get a little glimpse of what the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is. How great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Nothing restricts Allah. Nothing limits Allah. There is no power that can actually even claim to have power in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, there is no one in the world who can lay a finger against you and I. Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. You will always be on top. You will always be on top. As long as you are true believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about true believers, we're going to read this tomorrow inshallah. Allah azza wa jal, actually we read this already, my bad. We already read this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about true believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the true believers are those that when they hear the name of Allah, their hearts tremble. This is something our nation has forgotten to do, to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cry for everything. When we lose our job, we cry. When we have bad grades, we cry. If someone says something bad to us, we cry. It seems as if everyone's words or every single incident that takes place in our life can have an impact on our heart other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen. The religion, the deen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these things can have an impact on our life. You know, if we knew what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually went through, wallahi, by hearing his name every single time, tears would come out of our eyes. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually went through. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by him by saying, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah azza wa jalla is taking oath by him. He loves him so much. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he's born, subhanallah, he's born without a father. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being born, when Amina was delivering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a narration that Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, was holding on to the Kaaba and he was making dua to Allah. And his dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, oh Allah, give my son Abdullah a son, so his lineage can continue on. If he has a daughter, his lineage won't continue. Little did he know that his son actually had the best of all sons, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, when he was born, think about this for a second. Right? Reflect over this. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, he was lying next to Amina, his mother, just after birth. And he was clean, and he was makhtoon, he was already circumcised, there was no filth on his body, he was clean. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying next to his mother, and then he rolls over his shoulder, and he puts his hands on the ground and does sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Kathir says, after he does sajda, he then pushes his hands off the ground and points his finger towards the sky, and there's a nur that spreads in the sky. Right? It was as if the angels came to greet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his birth. Such a great personality. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the age of 6, what's a 6-year-old kid? A 6-year-old kid is nothing. Can barely run, can barely talk, barely can put some sentences together. A 6-year-old kid. He's sitting with his mother, and his mother is always talking about his father, that your father was this, your father was that, he was a great man. And which child wouldn't want to grow up with a father by his side? I mean, which prophet wouldn't want to grow up with the entire world hating him while having a father on his side? It'd make life so much more easier, right? And here, his mother's always talking about the father, and he says to his mother that, Mom, you keep talking about dad, let's go visit him. And she takes her son all the way to Medina Munawwara to visit the grave of his father. And when they, after they visit the father in that area there, after they visit the father, she spends some time with her family. And then when she's returning, subhanAllah, she becomes ill. And it's interesting. It's because from Medina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarrama, it was a 3-stop journey. You would make one stop over, second stop over, third stop over. And she passed away somewhere in the middle of the first stop over. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took her life, not after she returned to Medina, not after she returned to Mecca, so there would be an uncle there, a grandfather there to calm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down, some aunt would be there who would come and give him a hug. It was only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mother, and Umm Ayman, his slave, right, who he inherited from his father. And where did she pass away? She passes away in Abwa. Abwa is an empty place, there's nothing there. It's, you know, he's in the heat, he's in the middle of nowhere, and he sees that his mother all of a sudden has gone sick, and she's struggling, and she's on the ground, she can't move anywhere. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in so much shock. You know, Umm Ayman says that he was holding his mother's hand while his mother was in the last phases of her life, and he just wouldn't let go. And his mother couldn't say anything to him. And then finally his mother, she said to him, the final word she said to her son, that every single person that is young will one day become old. Every new thing will become old one day. And then she says to her mother, that don't fear, when I'm leaving you behind, you will be a guidance for the entire world, inshallah. And with that, she passes away. And Umm Ayman says that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother passed away, he went to the grave and he hugged his mother's grave and he wouldn't move from there. And Umm Ayman had to literally drag him away from the mother's grave, and he kept saying to his mother, you left me so early. And think about this. Imagine what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. You know, his mother was his brother. His mother was his sister. His mother was his father. His mother was his mother. His mother was his friend. His mother was his teacher. His mother was the one who took care of him. His mother was everything. And she, in a snap, just like that, she was gone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just a few months before he passed away, he performed his final hajj. And when he was going for the hajj, he stopped by Abwa, where his mother was buried. And he told the sahaba that we will camp here for the night. And the sahaba, they mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat by his mother's grave the entire night, and he cried and cried and cried in remembrance of his mother. You know, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go through? This is just him at 6 years of age. We can't even imagine what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through his entire life. Yet when we hear his name, it just passes past. It just goes right over us. It doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't even stop, doesn't resonate. We don't have any honor. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam is outside the picture. Who's going to say that these days, right? And it doesn't mean anything to us. If we want to learn to cry in front of Allah, we really have to learn to reflect. Right now, this is the time where we need to learn to make our du'as be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, this is a time that's so important for our du'as to be accepted. We can raise all the money we want for the orphans of the world, but there is nothing that can compare to a sincere du'a made for them. All these oppressors in the world, they can all be washed away by a simple, sincere dua made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time that we need to reflect and learn who Allah is, who we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and learn to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like one does while he's drowning in the final moments of his life. This is how we need to learn to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we know of the young kids that are suffering in Syria right now, what they're going through. You know, hundreds of thousands of them have been removed from their homes. You know, just the other day we saw the picture that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, the conqueror of Damascus, His masjid and his qabr was made shaheed, destroyed. Just a few days ago. If there's any time that we need to learn to make dua, it's right now. This month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to learn to cry in front of Allah and sincerely make dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while describing the virtue of crying, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the hadith is in Tirmidhi, that the eye that cries out of the fear of Allah will never enter into the fire of hell. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are two eyes that the fire of hell will never be able to touch them. The first eye, عَيْنٌ بَكَتْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, the eye that cries out of the fear of Allah. And the second eye is the eye that stays awake the entire night guarding the Muslims while they sleep. The hadith is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there is nothing that is more beloved to Allah than two tears, two drops. The first drop is the drop of tear that comes out of the eye when a person realizes how low he is in front of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the more you think about the greatness of Allah, the more you realize how small you are. You know, the more the world abandons you, you know, when your friends leave you, your wife leaves you, your children leave you, you know, the people in the world, when they leave you more, that's when you actually realize how small you actually are. Then it helps you realize how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When you have too many people around you, you forget to realize how small you are. You begin to think you're a strength. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the second drop that Allah loves abundantly is the drop that comes out of the body while fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the same hadith, he continued on by saying, وَأَمَّا الْأَثَرَانِ, and the two marks that Allah loves abundantly, the first, فَأَثَرٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, it's a mark that hits the body or that comes on the body because while one is fighting in the path of Allah. And the second one, وَأَثَرٌ فِي فَرِيدَةٍ مِّنَ الْفَرَائِضِ, and the second mark that Allah loves, which comes on the body while one is performing an obligation. You know how people, when they do sajda, they leave a mark on their forehead? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. Or while someone's doing hajj, he has a bruise or he has a mark, some scar, some kind of wound on him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that abundantly. The hadith is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. In the very famous narration of Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us of seven categories of people who will be given a place in the shade of the throne of Allah on the day of judgment. And who are these seven? Imamun Adirun, a just ruler. Shabun Nasha'a fi ibadatillahi azza wa jal, a young man who spends his youth worshipping Allah. Everyone worships Allah when they become old. It's about spending their youth when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, and the person whose heart is attached to the... It's not masjid. Masajid. All of the houses of Allah. He's attached to all the masajid. Anywhere he goes, he finds a masjid there, he's right inside. And there are two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. And a person who has been called towards zina. Every cause of zina is in front of him. Every pathway to zina has been opened up. No one is watching him. He can easily commit zina. But what happens is he remembers and he says, Inni akhafullah, I fear Allah. If I do this today, what's going to happen to me in front of Allah on the day of judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the sixth person who will be given that shade, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةَ أَخْفَاهَا, the person who gives sadaqah and he conceals it until the point where his left hand does not know of the charity that his right hand gave. And the last person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا, the one who remembered Allah while he was alone. He was alone, no one was there. It was just him and Allah, intimate moment, and he was alone. فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, and his eyes begin to roll with tears. So let's learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to say, subhanallah, that I would rather drop one tear from my eye for the sake of Allah than give 1,000 golden coins in sadaqah. In my eyes, one tear in front of Allah has more value than 1,000. 1,000, alfa dinar. Dinar, dirham and dinar are two different things. Dinar, 1,000 golden coins for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions, they describe the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Shikhir radiallahu anhu, very famous narration. The hadith is in Abu Dawud, Ahmad Nasa'i. He says, the Prophet, one day I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in prayer. And he was crying so much in his salah. He was crying so much in his salah that it sounded like there was a kettle cooking with water inside that was boiling. You know, when the water boils, the noise, that's how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was crying in his prayer. And then we have the very famous narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read the verse of the Quran, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He read the verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Isa alayhi salam said to Allah, oh Allah, if you punish these people, then they are your servant. And if you forgive them, then you are most honorable and you are most wise. It's up to you. You can punish them or you can forgive them. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he read this ayah, فَرَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أُمَّتِي أُمَّتِي. As soon as he read this ayah, he raised his hands and he started crying and saying, Oh Allah, my ummah. Oh Allah, my ummah. None of them can go to the fire of hell. I can't stand that. How could they go to the fire of hell? Ummati, ummati. وَبَكَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَا جِبْرِيلِ اِذْهَبْ إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. And he says, go to Muhammad and ask him, why is he crying? And Jibreel alayhi salam says to the Messenger of Allah, why are you crying? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I'm crying because of my concern for my ummah. You know, he put himself to sleep in tears because of crying for us. And today we can't shed a single tear for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to really ask ourselves, where is the wafa gone? Where is that honor gone? Where is that trust gone that we had with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He loved so much, yet we care less about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen. Allahu Akbar. And then Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah azza wa jal says that inna sanurdhika fi ummatika wa la nasu'uk, that we will please you in regards to your ummah and we will cause you no pain. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if that is the case, then I will not enter into Jannah until every person from my ummah enters into Jannah first. Allahu Akbar. We also need to learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry for ourselves, cry for our family, cry for the ummah, and cry about things. We just need to learn to reflect. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, when he would come to the grave, he would cry and cry and cry. كان عثمان إذا وقف على قبر بكى حتى بلت لحيته. He would cry so much until his entire beard would get soaked in tears. فقيل له تذكر الجنة والنار فلا تبكي. People talk to you about the fire of hell and paradise and you don't cry. Why do you cry in front of the grave? And then Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu said, for I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّ الْقَبْرَ أَوَّلَ مَنْزِلٍ مِّن مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the grave is the first of many stops in the hereafter. And then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ جَا مِنْهُ فَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَيْسَرْ مِنْ. And if he is successful from the grave, then everything after the grave is easy. And he said, وَإِن لَمْ يَنْجِي مِنْ. And if he is not successful in the grave, فَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَشَدُّ مِنْ. Then whatever comes after the grave is going to be very, very hard. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is nothing that is more difficult that I have seen on a person than what will happen to a person in the grave. Such a difficult time that we will go through. We should learn to cry in front of Allah. You know, next time you go to the graveyard to bury someone, or you go to visit a loved one, I want you to just walk past the graveyard and look at the different plates and different names that are there. I promised you the people that are buried in the graveyard today were the very same people who were working IT job and medical jobs just a few years ago. And they had children, they had houses, they had cars, they used to play sports, they used to have dawats, they used to invite people to their houses, they used to go out with their friends and have cops, and they used to have all this good stuff too. But what happened? What happened to them? Today those very same bodies are now rotting away in the grave, and the only thing that remains of them is a small little metal plate that has their name engraved inside there. Nothing remains from this world. Every single thing comes to an end. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجِلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So let's use this Ramadan as an opportunity to learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And cry together, cry as families, cry as individuals. Learn to shed these tears. One time, Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, I think I told you guys a story, I'll share it again. After Asr Salah, he used to have a special gathering called Chai Ki Majlis. I told you guys? No. I didn't tell you? He used to have a special gathering after Asr Salah called Chai Ki Majlis, in which they used to serve tea to everyone. But the principle to that gathering was that if you were to sit in that gathering, he had one usul, one principle, that you couldn't talk. You would be given a cup of tea and you had to sit there silent. Everyone would just sit there quiet. And if people had any private matters, they would come to the Sheikh one by one and ask the Sheikh for dua or get their mashura, whatever it was. So Sheikh Zakari rahmatullahi alayhi was one day sitting, and this man came with his young baby. He wanted to speak to the Sheikh and he had his baby with him, and the baby was crying. And you know how when if a baby cries in the middle of a lecture, or imagine everyone's quiet and the baby's screaming loud, the father's saying to the kid, shh, shh, quiet, 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 don't cry. The Sheikh's going to get mad. This is supposed to be a quiet time, not crying time. And as the Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi said to the father, Rene do, dunya mein rone wale bahut kam baki reh gaye. He said, let the kid cry. There are a few people in the world who still cry in front of Allah, who still cry in the world. There are a few people who still cry. If the baby's crying, let them cry. They'll don't still cry anymore. We don't have any hope from them anymore. They're not going to cry in front of Allah. They're not going to cry in gatherings. You don't hear their tears anymore. I wanted to share one more incident of Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anh, that one day he had his head inside his wife's lap and he started crying. فَبَكَتْ إِمْرَأَتَهُ his wife started also crying. فَقَالَ مَا يُبْكِيكِ He said to her, why are you crying? He said, why are you crying? I was crying, why are you crying? فَقَالَتْ رَأَيْتُكَ تَبْكِي فَبَكِيتُ She said, I saw you crying, so I thought, let me join you in crying as well. So then he said, okay, let me tell you why I was crying then. Why I was crying, let me tell you that. إِنِّي ذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا فَلَا أَدْرِي أَأَنْجُ مِنْهُ أَمْ لَا He said to his wife, well, you don't know why you were crying. Let me tell you why I was crying. The reason why I was crying is because I remember the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentions in the Quran, Surah Maryam, that every one of you will have to pass by the fire of hell. Every single person will have to pass by the fire of hell. He said, when I pass by, I don't know if I'm going to fall inside or stay outside the fire of hell. And that was enough to make me cry. So let's use this Ramadan to learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To shed these tears out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Many people can cry, but sometimes crying can also be different natures. You know, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, underneath the verse, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَ Underneath that verse, he explains that there are different types of tears as well. He says, some people, they cry, أَلْبُكَاءُ مِنَ الْفَرَحُ وَالْبُكَاءُ مِنَ الْحُزْنُ وَالْفَزَعُ وَالْرِيَاءُ وَالْوَجَعُ وَالشُّكُرُ وَالْبُكَاءُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ So there are different types of crying. Some people, they cry out of joy. Some cry out of grief. Some cry out of fright, you know, being frightened. Some cry out of pain. Some cry out of being thankful. Some cry to show off. Yes, people also cry to show off, by the way. You know that, right? There are people, one lady came to me in Hajj. She said, I was talking about the importance of crying. She said, Sheikh, I cry so much. But I want you to know, I'm telling you today, every time I cry, I'm just showing off. I know how to cry. It's just easy for me to have to just make that face and that the tears start coming out. It's easy for me to cry. So some people cry out of showing off as well. That's why the place in the shade of Allah's throne is for the person who cries while he's alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to learn to cry in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these moments spiritual moments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift the state of the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from oppression. May Allah help all those who are struggling. And Allah help all those who are in need. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.